Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, as you know, the government faces confidence votes over its handling of fuel protests. That's happening just after lunchtime today. How do you vote, though? Jason is with me on the line this afternoon. Jason, you don't think a vote of no confidence will make a difference?
No, unfortunately. I mean, whether government loses its vote of no confidence today or wins it, whether we go to a general election or not, I don't think there's enough political change in the air to return a different government or significantly different government than what we have at the moment.
I'm sure the opposition would strongly disagree with that if they were with us today. But you don't think there is it that there isn't enough appetite for change, or you don't think the alternative strikes enough of a difference for you?
Yeah, well, despite the very obviously well-reported frustration that people had over the last weeks with the fuel protests, I think there's a general understanding that the majority of that is caused from the ongoing war in Iran and others around the world. And government have put in mitigation measures. I certainly don't agree with them focused purely on reducing the tax bill at the pumps. I'd rather have seen measures in terms of reducing demand for fossil fuels. But if government was to fall today, what we would see is probably an increase in more right-wing votes and TDs being returned. So any potential for mitigations going forward that would do things like reduce work or increase work from home for people, increase wind farms, solar farms, that type of stuff. I can't see that happening if government was to fall and a more right-leaning government was to come in.
Yeah, hard to see how there'd be such a right-leaning government, though, when you look at the you know, the strength of the opposition at the moment and how left the opposition members are. But I suppose in terms of what's happening today, we've the vote of no confidence, and I suppose a subsequent vote of confidence. You don't think that this is going to make any odds at all?
No, from what I have seen, there's not enough of the independents who support government who are going to go against them today. I imagine the vote will be very tight, and I think it would probably have larger ramifications within Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil's leadership rather than a fall of government. I'd certainly like to see change. I'd like to see left-leaning parties within government and leading government, but I just don't see that happening today, unfortunately.
So stay with me, Jason, for a moment. 1800 453 106 is the number. I just want to get a kind of a flavour, I suppose, our own vote, if you want to call it that, here in Lunchtime Live today, to see how listeners feel. Ben is on the line. Ben, you're in Tipperary. Do you agree with the no confidence motion?
Definitely, Andrea. I suppose, similar to your other caller, in principle, I think I understand the stance that the opposition is taking. I understand the point that they're trying to drive home and what they're trying to make. And it is nice to see some kind of cohesion and coalition between that left-wing opposition to the parties, even though obviously in a sense of how we understand it, right-wing and left-wing politics, I would not say that any party is hard left, hard right in that sense. I believe that a lot of our parties can be relatively centrist in a lot of aspects. As you said, is the government really as right as people might think? There are obviously certain things that they staunchly disagree on. But similar to the caller, I also believe I don't know what practical repercussions this will have. You know, we go into an election, Sinn Féin has a majority, and then a coalition government is put together, propped up by independents, and the whole notion of a potential left-wing coalition or a Sinn Féin government is completely out the window because they're completely blocked from the ability to do that. I think the other thing with these protests, I very much support people's protests. I very much support the stance that people are taking. What I really hate to see, and is a very commonplace thing, is to have it commandeered by far-right actors and making this about something that it isn't. That even if they want to necessarily have an immigration debate, to sit there and include that when this has nothing to do with it, we know that doesn't have an impact on it. We know that there's geopolitical shocks around the world that are resulting in this, obviously the most prevalent being what's happening in Iran, and what's happening in Ukraine is the other one being cited by the government. But this also feeds into the notion that the government is completely ill-equipped in dealing with these global shocks and providing alternative measures, that being alternative sources of energy like solar and wind, etc. And it's not like global shocks to the economy are a new thing. It happens in the 70s, it happens in the war in Iraq, it happens in Afghanistan, it happens when you're tied to large global players like the US, and the decisions that they make have a continuous knock-on effect on our ability to survive and our independence. And it's also an EU wider issue. It's not just an Irish issue, it's an EU wider issue about their lack of preparedness and ability.
Countries
to deal
across
with
the world are having these very same conversations on similar shows like this afternoon. I've even been, you know, following some of the commentary as well in the likes of Australia and across Europe, and like, it's the same sentiment, it's the same tone that we're hearing in European countries. But and look, to be fair to the protests as well, Ben, you know, the very vast majority, it should be said, of the protesters that have participated, you know, definitely not far right activists. And I mean,
no, I don't want to come in here.
And certainly
that,
I mean, I was there myself Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday in Dublin City Centre, and I can tell you, you know, the very, very vast majority of the people I met were just ordinary farmers and haulage contractors and those working in the agricultural agricultural sector. So as with that in mind, the two different announcements that we've had from government, right? And I know people will ring in today and say, you know, this happened because of this and this only followed because of what happened and, you know, so on. But do you think there's enough that has been done? We've had two big, 500, half a billion euro announcements between Sunday and...
€3/4 billion.
So, are you satisfied now with that? Could they have done more? Have they done enough?
I don't think I would be. I think, and it's a lot of these temporary measures, and also there's this whole notion of them balancing what they can and can't do within the remit of the EU, and they're probably very considerate of the fact that Ireland is going to hold the presidency of the Council from July, and they don't want the repercussions from the EU in relation to postponing the carbon tax increase until the next budget and putting in all these packages. I don't think it necessarily goes far enough. I just do believe that it's a really insufficient approach from them, and again, lack of preparedness going into situations like this. We know how unpredictable global affairs have been. We know about the conflicts that are arising from the quote-unquote peace president of the United States. How are you sitting there and then acting like you're not prepared for this? And also, this government has gone in previous to this and saying we have an appropriate surplus in place and that we're retaining the surplus that we have within the budget to ensure that we're prepared for things like this. And then they're faltering at the first hurdle.
Well, I mean, look at the amount of money that's been announced.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the space of what, 2.5 weeks?
Hmm.
Okay, let's bring in Christy. Christy's with us on the line. Christy, how do you feel about the two different, the votes, the motions today?
I don't think it'll make any relevance, it'll be irrelevant anyway in the scheme of things, because I think we know what... A lot of things are out of our control globally at the present moment. You have that madman in the White House. I won't even call him a president because he's not acting as a president. Is it totally off the scale altogether? And I think there are things out of Irish control that we cannot control globally. But there are things within the Irish economy that we can control. But there are a lot of other services who will be feeling the hurt at the present moment as well. How will they be catered for down the road? While you might compensate or you might reduce or help the farming, agriculture, the truckers, the coach drivers out of the independence, like those people that were protesting. And I empathise totally with them, but I don't agree with the manner in what how they blockaded. I mean, I had my own issues in relation to blockading their empathy.
Yeah.
And that grated with me for quite some time. Yes, I understand fully. And the Gardaí were in an invidious situation. But I think that planning for any protest, how they're going to react if there was another protest during the EU presidency. I wonder what planning will be in place to prevent something like this happening again.
We can all do with a level of critical analysis of how we handle things. Yeah. I mean, there's no doubt about that. And absolutely, I mean, whether it's a vote of confidence or no confidence or whatever you want to spend the afternoon doing today, they should absolutely be sitting down and reviewing how it was handled. Whether they think it was good or bad or indifferent, we all can learn.
Yeah, we all can learn, because the planning, I mean, the government of the day and the Garda Síochána, I'm sure through their intelligence service, were well aware that this protest was going to happen. Now, on the scale, I don't think they were prepared for the scale of protest what did happen. Yet, now we're seeing that the government could have acted a lot earlier. they may have could have dealt with the crisis by way of saying, right, we have 250 million going forward. We'll give you another 400 or 500 million reduction in excise duties and VAT and whatever else. That could have been done very early without this protest escalating. And I think the government missed a turn, but the vote on OCOMS was totally irrelevant at the present moment of time. There's over 300,000 people who are behind on their electricity, you know, and paying for their electricity at the present moment of time. We're the 7th highest, believe it or not, in Europe in relation to electricity.
Yeah, prices. I just heard that there, Raymond.
Yeah, unbelievable. You know, there are things that there are other services like our health services and others that need investment and funding. Now, if we take away all that investment and funding from those and give it towards what we did the last day, nearly $750 million in euros. I mean, there's something that it has to give at the end of the day, and somebody will pay the price for that at the end of the day. And we still have to, as taxpayers, people who are paying their taxes in this country, going to work every day, I mean, they will find down the road, they'll end up paying it back in some shape or form come the next budget. Okay. Because the next budget comes along, we won't have the money in the bank to
we'll be getting the leaks of that now towards the latter end, I suppose, of the summer as well. A listener has got in touch to tell me, I fully support the government. They aren't perfect, but there's no credible alternative. Another listener tells me, lessons learned on both sides. The government should start talking early, be careful about announcements such as the army, but they were correct to only talk with elected groups. This texter says the government didn't handle the protest very well, but I didn't hear anyone in opposition come up with real answers. 087 1400 106, that is the WhatsApp number. Kevin is on the line. Kevin, how do you vote? How do you think the whole thing was handled in the last week?
I think the government handled it terribly, to be quite honest, and complete no confidence vote in them at all. They could have handled it much better, as your previous caller said. There was warning of this. They didn't realise the scale of it. But what I believe, the whole country should be brought to a standstill. Now, I know the government can't be held to responsible for everything. And I know the EU, there's legalities there on exactly what the government can do. But there's other measures the government can do.
Like
the same as the budget, that they left out an awful lot of measures, even in the last budget. They left out measures. There was nothing for the general person. You know? And what I believe in, even if there's a vote of no confidence, I don't think it'll make any difference, because if you take it, say, for the last, say, 100 years, there's only been two parties involved in government of this country. I think it's time we had somebody else in. Now, I know an awful lot of people don't like the likes of, say, Sinn Féin, but if they got in and ran the country for a year, two, 3 years, and they did mess it up, well, at least they would have tried, and they could not have done a worse job than the government that's been running this.
But it's not that long ago we had an election, though, Kevin, that people were asked to give their views.
I realise that. Yesterday I was talking to friends of mine, a couple of farmers, and they said that there is no way in hell they're going to vote this government back in. So I can't see a change. People are just sick of this government with the decisions they've made. And just not helping the normal man. What people don't realise, especially in the farming community, that if farmers can't afford to fill their tractors, to sow their land, to grow product, that's going to have a knock-on effect.
Yeah, we already had some of the, you know, so when you look at the economic scenarios that are facing the country and worldwide, you know, the geopolitical issues at the moment, like some of these, not all of them, but some of these very same issues were facing the electorate when we last had our general election vote, and people voted in the way that they did as well. So, like, it's hard to kind of fathom how, you know, when to say that the people don't support the government, should they elect them long?
I take your point, but I'd put it down to two words. I put it down to hereditary voting. And an awful lot of that does happen. It's hereditary voting. It's like, who's our parents voted for?
I don't know. Yeah. It's hard to, I know.
People are afraid of change.
God, I talk to, you know, people in their 20s and 30s every day of the week, Kevin, on this programme. And I mean, like, I would have thought that, you know, if anything, we're living in an era where the generation in their 20s and 30s no longer vote in the same path or line way as their parents did. But look, who knows? John, you wanted to make a point about this. How do you feel about these motions today?
Well,
hi, John. How are you? You can hear me okay.
Yeah, I don't think it's the time for this. I wouldn't be voting again and no confidence vote in the government at the moment. It's a big mess. The whole thing has been a big mess. The government messed up. The protesters went a bit over the top. You know, I know I totally support the protesters and all the rest, but this petrol, this fuel issue, we can't control the price of oil, unfortunately. Now, it's high at the moment. It could go a lot higher. It could go to $150 a barrel down in June and July. We could be really in the mess. I don't believe any contractor that's using diesel or petrol for the production or for commercial use should be paying tax on it at the moment. You know, it's part of.
So you think these government measures could have gone further then, do you?
Well, I don't know how far they could have gone, but like if.
Well, it's 505 million, you know, how much further?
Yeah. But if you use your car for your work, you're able to get the tax back on it, you know, because it's an expense.
Mm.
Just like the petrol and the diesel is an expense.
Yeah.
So if they're paying tax on it, they should be getting that back because it's not for their own use. It's not for that they're driving their Arctic to the pub on a Friday night. You know, they're using it to produce goods for the country.
So you think more than the excise cut that we got, you think there should have been something different? Look, who knows? Maybe in the next budget, perhaps there might be changes with regards to that.
But we've got to, I wouldn't go having, you know, this border no confidence. I'd be well enough alone for the moment. Now, people will we will get to vote again in the next election or whatever, and we'll get to see how the land lies. By June or July, this thing down in could have really blown up, you know, down in Iran, and the oil prices could have been double what they are now. We don't know.
So I'd
leave the government that's there for the moment.
Leave well enough alone. Right. Well, look, we've been asking listeners today. We want to hear from you how you feel about the vote of confidence facing government this afternoon. Another texter, the money they offered is giving with one hand and taking with the other. This listener tells me if the vote of no confidence is successful, the state will have to foot the expense of an election, and then left-wing parties aren't able to agree on enough policies to create a steady government. This texter suggests the government didn't handle the protests well, but they didn't hear anyone in opposition come up with alternative answers. Our political correspondent Sean Defoe is with me on the line today. Sean, I mean, looking, you're crunching the numbers this afternoon. I would have thought that the government would pass this with great ease.
Yeah, comfortably. There's no threat to them at all. There won't be a fall of the government today. It will pass by at least 5 or 6 votes. The really only question here, and we've been trying to get in touch with independents this morning, Barry Heenahan confirming to me in the last little while that he is going to vote with the government. You obviously have the ministers who are tied in. I suppose the big question is over Danny Healy-Ray, and there's been quite a few people in government calling him this morning to try and shore him up after he was very critical of the package yesterday. Of course, his brother, Michael, one of those who helped to negotiate it. And now there are people in Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil saying, well, look, when you came on board, it was one ministry for 2 votes. Mm. What's going on now?
But that's the deal, isn't it? It was 2 for the price of 1.
2 for the price of 1, exactly, yeah. But the 2, I don't think, are exactly seeing eye to eye on this. So he's the only one potentially going overboard. We also haven't heard from Gillian Toole, who's another independent. But look, even if the 2 of them decided to pull rank and not vote with the government, they would have a majority of 5. So there's not going to be a government falling today.
Simple as that. Sean Defoe, political correspondent. Of course, we'll have more here during those votes taking place. It's meant to kick off actually at 2 o'clock this afternoon. We'll keep you posted here on News Talk. Keep your thoughts, your views coming into us this afternoon. 087 1400 106 is the number. As the government faces confidence votes, this is over the handling of the fuel protests. We want to hear your take this afternoon. I will leave you with this message from this listener who says, am I the only one who thinks the country's flying it? People are on holidays every other week. Cappuccino as far as the eye can see, TV subscriptions, etc. The problem is people's inability to take hard times. The email is lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk. Conversation that counts.